You shall worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. How do you react to that statement? Are you thrilled and delighted to read that God is a jealous God? Or does it perhaps baffle and confuse you? Are you glad that God is jealous? Or does it make you feel a little uncomfortable? Does it perhaps embarrass you and make you cringe a little? If a non-Christian were to ask you about God's jealousy, would you want to skirt round the issue and quickly move on to another subject? Or are you pleased and happy that your God is a jealous God? I believe that we have good reason to rejoice and be glad in the truth of this verse, that the God of the Bible is an earnestly, fiercely, and passionately jealous God. It's a characteristic of God that we encounter frequently in the pages of the Bible. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, God says, "The Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Psalm 78, verse 58 tells us that God's people moved him to jealousy with their graven images. In Ezekiel 39, God says, "I will be jealous for my holy name." In Nahum chapter 1, we read that God is jealous and the Lord avenges. And it's something we read about in the New Testament as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're warned against provoking the Lord to jealousy. And in James chapter 4, we read of God jealously yearning over us. The God of the Bible is quite definitely a jealous God. In fact, so closely does God associate jealousy with his character that he says here in Exodus chapter 34 that his very name is jealous. God's names reveal his true nature and character. And God is telling us here that he wishes to be identified as the God who is jealous. So it's certainly a subject worthy of our attention, not only because it's a rather neglected subject, not only because it's a very confusing subject, but also because it is, I believe, a very helpful and useful subject to contemplate, the jealousy of our God. Here in Exodus chapter 34, God has revealed something of his glory to his servant Moses. He has passed by before Moses and he has proclaimed his name. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Moses has been shown something of God's splendor and majesty. Something of the greatness and grandeur of God has been put on display. And God goes on to confirm his promise that he's going to give his people the land of Canaan. He'll drive out the present inhabitants and he'll give that land to his people. But he warns the people not to become entangled in idolatry. Why not? Because he is a jealous God. He won't tolerate any rivals. He's just shown Moses how supremely glorious he is. So he doesn't want the people now setting their affections on anyone or anything but himself. He is jealous. But how is this an attractive quality in God? What is it that makes this such a wonderful feature of his character? Well, in order to explore this subject, we'll ask four questions. First, what does it mean that God is jealous? Second, why is it right for God to be jealous? Third, why should we be glad that God is jealous? And fourth, what effect should God's jealousy have upon us? First of all, then, what does it mean that God is a jealous God? What truth is God communicating to us when he says he is jealous? Well, the scripture means it in two senses. First, God is jealous for his name. Our God is a God who earnestly seeks fame and renown for himself. He's a God who puts a very high value on his own reputation. He's a God who wants his name to be the one that is revered and honored and praised above all other names and all other things. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8, he says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images." God is intolerant of anyone else getting the praise and honor that he alone deserves. He doesn't want anyone else to take his rightful place as the supreme object of worship. The ultimate motivation behind everything that God does is this, the protection of his own honor. In Isaiah 48, he explains the motive behind his actions. He says, "For my own sake, for my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted or profaned? I will not give my glory to another." So this is God's great passion, seeking his own fame and renown. His supreme goal in everything is to show forth his own magnificence. God's ultimate aim in all things is actually to show everyone just how amazing he is. That's why God made the universe in the first place. It's why God made human beings. It's the reason that you exist and are alive today. His glory. Isaiah 43. God says there, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." This is what the Bible means when it says that God is jealous. He does everything for his own glory. He can't stand anyone else getting the honor that is rightly his. We could even say God always wants to be the center of attention. Why? Because he is the only being worthy of such an honor. He is jealous for his name. How can that be right? We'll consider that a few moments later. But the second way in which God is jealous is this. He is jealous for his people. God's jealousy is most often associated in the Bible with his holiness and his wrath and his anger, but it also relates to his love. God loves his people with a fiercely protective and jealous love. In Zechariah chapter 1, he says, "I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." He's so unashamed of telling us that he's jealous. In Joel chapter 2, the people were told, "The Lord will be jealous for his land and he will pity his people." God earnestly desires the good of his people. He's passionately committed to them. The Song of Solomon speaks of a love that is as strong as death and a jealousy that is as fierce as the grave. And that is the kind of love that God has for his people. That is the sort of love that God has for you. In Isaiah 62, he calls his people Hephzibah. In other words, his soul's delight. In Zechariah 2, he says that his people are the apple of his eye. His love for us is so zealous, so enthusiastic that he can't bear to see us going after idols and trying to fill our lives with things that won't do us any good. He's jealous for his name and he's jealous for his people. And we see this jealousy on display in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, do you remember when Jesus saw the temple of God being defiled in John chapter 2. He drives the people out of the temple in his jealousy, and we're told that zeal for God's house had eaten him up. Like his father, Jesus was passionately and jealously committed to his people. He even laid down his life for them upon the cross. He was prepared to go to the most extreme lengths for the glory of God and the good of his people. Our God is a jealous God, and so is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can it be right for God to be jealous? How can it be a good and proper thing for a perfect God to be so jealous about things? Let me suggest three reasons. It's right for God to be jealous because there is a right kind of jealousy. Jealousy isn't always wrong. even for us human beings. For example, in the bond of marriage, it is quite right and proper for the husband and wife to have a jealous love for each other. Theirs is a special and exclusive relationship. They're in covenant with one another. The wife belongs to the husband. The husband belongs to the wife. And so it would be quite unnatural for them not to be jealous. For example, if the wife starts receiving undue attention and advances from another man, it would be rather worrying if the man were not jealous. If the man didn't care less, his love would be a rather shallow thing, would it not? There is a right kind of jealousy. It is legitimate to be jealous over things that belong to us, as long as we're not selfish. And so it is quite right for God to be jealous, because glory rightly belongs to him. And so he's jealous for his own glory. His people rightly belong to him. And so he's jealous for us. What the Bible forbids is jealously craving what belongs to somebody else. But God's glory rightly belongs to him, so do his people. And so he is a jealous God. Jealousy itself is not intrinsically wrong. There is a right kind of jealousy. And it's right for God to be jealous because of who he is. He is God. When we make much of ourselves, it's a very ugly and repulsive thing, isn't it? When we always want to be the center of attention, we call it vanity and arrogance. So why is it okay for God to make much of himself? How is it right for him to pursue his own fame and glory? Well, it's because of who he is. It's wrong for us to seek worship and praise because we don't deserve it. We're small, limited, finite, mortal creatures. We're sinful, fallen, wicked, imperfect people. We don't deserve glory and renown. But God does. God is praiseworthy. He is perfect. He is flawless in every way. So he deserves adoration. That's why it's right and noble and commendable for him to pursue it. He deserves to be magnified and honored. In fact, God's own sense of justice compels him to make much of himself. God knows full well that he is supremely wonderful and excellent, and so it is only fair and fitting that he puts himself in the spotlight. It's only wrong for us to act like this, because we're not the greatest beings in the universe. But God is the greatest and most important being that there is. So it is right and proper for him to get the recognition and admiration of which he is worthy. It's right for God to be jealous, because he thoroughly deserves to be highly exalted above all other beings. It's his right. And it's right because it's not a selfish jealousy. Although God does delight in his own magnificence, it's not selfish for two reasons. First, God is not one person. He is three persons. God eternally exists as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And each of these persons within the Trinity, they are concerned about the others. Each person glorifies another person. The Father loves to glorify the Son. The Son loves to magnify his Father. The Holy Spirit loves to put the spotlight on the Son, Jesus Christ. Each person within the Trinity strives and works to glorify the others. And so in that sense, God is not a selfish God, because he is not just one self. He is not just one person. He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God's jealousy isn't selfish, because it doesn't stop him giving generously to others. It doesn't stop him caring about people or seeking their well-being. It's true that he does seek his own glory and fame, but he also seeks the good and benefit of his creatures as well. God's selfish is not a selfish jealousy, and so it is perfectly right and proper. But still, doesn't this make God sound very proud and vain? Doesn't it make God seem rather full of himself? Wasn't God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, supposed to be a humble man? How can that tie in with God being so jealous about his reputation and the way people think about him? What does the Bible mean when it says that Jesus was humble? Did Jesus have a low opinion of himself? Well, we have to say no. Of course he didn't. In fact, when you think about it, Jesus actually had a very high opinion of himself. He went around talking about himself all the time. He preached about himself. He drew attention to himself. Many of his most famous sayings began with the words, "I am." In other words, let me tell you about myself. It's all about me. I'm the be-all and end-all. I'm the meaning of life. Jesus didn't have a low opinion of himself. If he did, he would have been inaccurate. He knew his own worth. He would have been dishonest to do himself down. So in what sense was Jesus humble if he had such an opinion of his own worth? Well, in this sense, even though he was so great and he was so perfect and he was so wonderful, even though he knew that full well, he was still, in spite of that reality, prepared to put others first. He was prepared to sacrifice such a great person as himself for others. He was willing to take the form of a servant, to veil his true glory for a season and become obedient to death. That was the humility of Jesus. It didn't consist in him having a low opinion of himself, because that would have just been inaccurate and against truth. The humility of Jesus consisted in the fact that he was willing for a season to lay down his sovereign rights and privileges for the sake of others. That's how his humility is described in Philippians chapter 2. And so Jesus, just like his father, though humble, perfectly humble, nevertheless was jealous for God's glory. So God is a jealous God. He's jealous for his own name. He's jealous for his people. It's a right and proper and praiseworthy and commendable thing. But why should we positively be glad that God is jealous? Let me suggest a few reasons why we should rejoice and be thrilled and elated at the fact that our God is so fiercely jealous, that he so closely guards his own reputation, that he so preserves his own fame and renown. Why should we be glad? Well, first, it secures our satisfaction. If God were not jealous, none of us would ever be truly happy. If God were not jealous, you and I would never be fulfilled. If God were not jealous, then all human beings would be miserably and utterly empty for all eternity. It's because God is jealous that he goes to such great lengths to put his own glory on display. Because God is so jealous, it means he wants everyone to see and behold his own magnificence. But that is exactly what you and I need above everything else in this universe. That is the secret to true satisfaction. Seeing and beholding and experiencing and tasting God's glory and goodness is the only thing that can fill the human heart with lasting pleasure. Nothing else is ever going to be enough for you. Has that truth sunk into your consciousness? Nothing in this world is ever going to fill that void in your heart. You will be empty. You may have a degree of happiness, but your soul will be empty and starving until it is filled with God and his glory. And thankfully, God is at great pains to manifest, to show, to reveal, to display, to exhibit that glory which alone can satisfy. Because God is so committed to exhibiting his own excellence, it means that true satisfaction and eternal delight are available to us. God's jealousy is actually beneficial to us. It's wonderfully advantageous to human beings. We should be glad that God is jealous. We would be miserably empty forever if he were not. The psalmist put it like this: "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." The fact that God is jealous and he is so eager and enthusiastic about revealing how amazing he is means that we have the opportunity to take advantage of that and to taste God's goodness, to see his power and his love and his majesty, to feel the warmth of his presence. God's jealousy secures our satisfaction. If God were not jealous, you and I would be empty forever. Second, we should be glad that God is jealous because it guarantees our perseverance in the faith. The Christian life is tough. Often we feel that we can't carry on. Maybe you're feeling like that right now. You want to give up. Sometimes the pressure upon us can be so strong that we fear we're going to be unable to keep on going. We don't feel we have the strength or the spiritual energy or the zeal to survive anymore or to persevere any longer. But our God is a jealous God. He cannot allow us to fall away because he has staked his very reputation upon us. If we fall away, then God is a failure. And he cannot let that happen. He must jealously protect his own honour. He can't allow himself to be defamed. And so the fact that God is jealous means that he will persist with us and preserve us and never give up on us, no matter how much we fail, because he's a jealous God. He'll keep you for his own fame and renown, as well as out of love for you. And so we can be confident that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's jealousy guarantees our perseverance in the faith. We should be glad that God is jealous also because it shows the intensity of God's love. The fact that God is jealous shows us that he's not a cold, hard, unfeeling God. His love towards us isn't something faint or half-hearted or dispassionate. There is an unquenchable ardour and fervency to his love. His jealousy is a hot jealousy. It's described in the Bible as being like a flaming fire. That is the kind of love with which God loves us. It is an intense, burning, blazing, vehement, jealous love. It's true that God is an unchanging God and he doesn't vary from day to day in his moods and emotions. He's always the same. But nevertheless, we mustn't think of him as though he were cold and lifeless and impersonal. His love towards us is one of intense jealousy. Listen to how he speaks to his people in the Old Testament in Hosea 11. He says to them, in spite of all their sin and their wickedness and their spiritual ugliness and their disobedience and their stubbornness, he says to them this, "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns within me, and my sympathy or my compassion is stirred. My feelings are aroused. I look upon you in all your sin and all your spiritual vileness, your disobedience, how often you give into temptation, your unworthiness, but I'm moved with love for you. And not just a faint, cold love, but with a hot jealousy. God's love is a passionate one, a fiery one. What a comfort that is to know that the God who is on the throne of the universe is a God who is intensely and jealously affectionate towards you. God's jealousy shows us the intensity of his love towards us. Finally, what effect should God's jealousy have upon us? How should we respond to it? Well, first, it should put us in our place. It's not all about us. It's all about God. We are not the focal point of the universe. God is. The world doesn't exist for our happiness. It exists for God's glory. You are not the most important person in your life. God is. It's so easy, isn't it, to get caught up in all our own problems and cares that we forget that the very purpose of our existence is to magnify God. He is the one who matters the most. So easy to get caught into the trap of grumbling and saying life isn't fair and moaning about everything as though God were here to serve us and not the other way around. The very reason you and I exist is to bring glory to God. That's our function. That's our job. That's our task. And it should put us in our place. Then it should challenge our idolatry. What does God say? You shall worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God won't tolerate anyone else being on the throne of your hearts. He is the only one worthy of sitting there. If anyone else has supreme place in your affections, then God charges you with spiritual adultery and prostitution. Think back over your life this past week. What has been the driving force behind all that you have done? What has been occupying your thoughts this week? How have you spent your time? What have you been trying to find happiness in? What has been your top priority each day? How have you decided what you're going to do? What has been number one? If it's not the Lord God, then we're guilty of idolatry. And God is jealous. Whether it's another person, or an ambition, or a possession, or an activity, even a legitimate religious activity, God is jealous, and he demands that you drive that idol out from the throne room of your hearts, that he may reign there. God won't tolerate any rivals. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. It's the principle behind the second commandment as well. He says, thou shalt not make any graven image, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Any low or small thoughts we have about God, any mental or physical depiction of him, any way of thinking about him that belittles and diminishes him is a grievous insult to our jealous God. Recognizing God's fierce jealousy should provoke us to cast away all our idols. And then it should lead us to repentance. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, you are in open defiance against the one true God. God says you are a rebel against him. He is angered by your way of life, living for yourself instead of living for him. He made you to worship him. He made you to be a servant. He made you to enjoy his glory. How zealously God longs that you would repent. He commands you to turn away from your current life. Will you dare to disobey him? He tells you to forsake your rebellion against him. Will you risk defying him? And he lovingly pleads with you to abandon a futile way of living and to come and find true joy in knowing him. Will you throw away the chance of receiving everlasting life? You shall worship no other god, he says to you. I am to be your God. I am your rightful master. I am the Lord you should be following. Why will you stay outside of God's loving embrace? Why will you deprive yourself of the eternal glory that he offers? His son Jesus has died to provide forgiveness and heaven and a new and better life. Won't you go to him and claim your free gift of eternal life? Because if you don't, God's jealous anger will remain on you. And so he urges you to repent and trust his son Jesus to forgive you your sins. Go to the cross. See what lengths God went to save a sinful and wretched people. There you will see a jealous God sacrificing his son to buy himself a people who will praise him. A jealous God chooses to condemn his own son so that you can be spared. A jealous God lovingly provides a way for rebels like you and me to be forgiven. And a jealous God now demands that you deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow his son, and serve him as your God. You shall have no other gods, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Amen.